Cincinnati Edition on a Monday afternoon. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along. Joining me on the phone from their lab in Maine are Stephen Voltz and Fritz Grobem, a.k.a. the Coke and Mentos guys, making some incredible fountains. These two scientists, one tall and bald, the other shorter with a beard, have amazed us with their videos on YouTube, their appearances on the David Letterman Show and the Today Show and Mythbusters and, well, even on the radio on Science Friday with Ira Flatow. Now, through their work with their company EP Bird, they have put together a new book, How to Build a Hovercraft, Air Cannons, Magnet Motors, and 25 Other Amazing Do-It-Yourself Science Projects. Stephen, Fritz, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for having us.
A little history first, please, guys. You came to the world's attention back in 2006 when your video of extreme Diet Coke and Mentos experiments became a viral video classic on the internet. How and why did that video come to be?
Well, it all started back in 2005 when Stephen came to visit me up here in Maine and said, "Have you heard something crazy is supposed to happen when you drop a handful of Mentos into a bottle of Coke?" And so we gave it a try, and I hope you have done, like I hope all of your listeners will do, you just got to see it. It's this phenomenal experience to see the soda shooting 20, 30 feet into the air.
Yes.
And that started us on, well, one was really cool. What about 10? What about 20? What about 100?
Well, how did that grow into your company, EP Bird?
Well, we started trying to make just a simple, short, funny video for the internet. We have a lot of we met at a performing workshop studying physical theater, and we were looking for a sort of a physical theater piece to put online. And we have a lot of friends that help us and our other performers. And so we put that piece together. We spent several months to figure out how to put the different 100 bottles all together in combination. But once that took off online, and it really was insane, we told one person. We really were not ready to go live yet. So we told one of my three brothers, and the thing just took off like crazy. We did put it online on a Saturday morning in June. We told just my brother David. And on Monday morning, the Letterman Show called. On Tuesday, Conan O'Brien called. On Wednesday, All Things Considered was calling. It was just insane. And as a result of that, we started seeing what the impact was. And it turned out it was really good for sales for Mentos and for Coke, for Diet Coke. And that made us look at what kind of business model there might be. And we ended up just making viral videos for brands for the next several years.
Well, while you do have some of the Coke Mentos tricks in the book How to Build a Hovercraft, there's more to it. What sparked the book now?
Well, this we grew up as kids curious about science, and we had lots of books like this as kids. But they either had a few cool things to do, but they didn't really dig into the science of it, or they had some really great science, but 107 really lame experiments. And we're curious about both sides of this. We want people to get out there, get their hands dirty, build something, have some fun, and then learn something in the process. So we really tried to put together 24 mind-boggling, really cool, fun things to do, and then show you how it works. What's the science behind it?
Stephen Voltz and Fritz Grobem, also known as the Coke and Mentos guys, talking about their book, How to Build a Hovercraft, Air Cannons, Magnet Motors, and 25 Other Amazing Do-It-Yourself Science Projects. You can join the conversation on the phone at 513-419-7100. Maybe share your story of your Coke and Mentos fountain. Or you can email us, talk@wvxu.org, or give us a tweet or post on Facebook, too. And I wanted to ask, as you were going through and picking these various various experiments in the new book, How to Build a Hovercraft, whether it was the science you were looking at first or you were looking at the experiment first to find the science.
We were definitely looking at the experiment first. The first rule was it had to be something really cool that we would really have fun really performing, to do a little piece with. And once it met that threshold, we knew there was science behind everything and we could figure out what the science was. And that once we picked the selected from the candidates, we would really dig into the science. But the first thing was, it's got to be really fun to do.
I would say that would be a good criteria, and you have quite a selection here. We'll get to the hovercraft in a minute, but you start out fairly easy. I quick and amazing, I think, is what you call your level one experiments. Did you want to build it up in stages just to break people in slowly but surely?
Exactly. We want to provide things that you can do if you've got just a few minutes. And I mean, most importantly, all of these things are experiments that you can do with everyday objects. So it's the stuff that you have around the kitchen and in the garage, stuff that you can just get at the corner store or the hardware store. It's not crazy chemicals and things that are difficult to find. So we start off with the, as you say, with the level one quick and amazing stuff. Things like putting a bar of ivory soap in the microwave and it turns into this ivory volcano. In just a matter of seconds, you've got this bubbling, foaming mountain of soap lava. And that's really quick and easy to do and super fun. But then we start taking it up a notch and get to the things that, okay, you'll need some tools, you'll need a little bit more time, but the farther in you go, the more spectacular it gets.
Well, I want to ask about the hovercrafts here in a moment because you start out with small and build up from there. But I also wanted to ask about some of the science, because it seems on the easy ones, there's kind of a little brain science. It's not just physics. It's not just chemistry. You're mixing it all up in here.
Yes, some of the easy and most mind-boggling ones are optical illusions that play with the signals between what your eye is receiving on the back of your retina and what your brain is interpreting that to be. And so there's a couple of really cool optical illusion experiments in the book that really make you sort of question reality if you do it right.
My favorite is the spider web illusion, where just with some masking tape and a door frame, you can build what looks to a camera like a spider web stretched across the door frame, but you can actually walk right through it. And that's that part of it is indeed a spider web in place of built out of masking tape stretching across this doorway, but part of it is actually going back into the room behind the doorway. And it's just that from the camera's point of view, it looks exactly like a spider web, but it means that there's a big hole and you can actually fool the video camera and walk right through the spider web.
It looks like you're penetrating right through matter through matter. It's really cool.
Well, in another optical illusion, you have a security camera that follows you around, but, well, it's not a security camera.
It's just a piece of cardboard with a security folded into a sort of a box shape, and the security camera is printed on the inside of the box, and if you put that up in the corner of a room, it's an inside-out image of a camera, and the way the optics work with that, as you move around the room, it will look like the security camera is moving with you, left, right, up, down. It's really quite unnerving.
And it comes out well on a cell phone camera, too, you note in the book, I realize.
Yes, that works great on a cell phone camera, yeah.
Well, I want to ask about the EB Lab there in Buckfield, Maine. I noticed from your credits that you have a lot of folks who are helping you out with these experiments. It's kind of grown from just the two of you.
Absolutely. We have, depending on the project, anywhere from 2 to 3 people on up to a dozen working on any one project. Right now we're working to build our paper airplane launchers into even bigger and better and crazier paper airplane launchers. That's actually one of the experiments in the book is building a mechanical paper airplane launcher that shoots a paper airplane kind of like a slingshot. There's a little hook made out of a paper clip on the bottom of the paper airplane, and then you hook elastic onto that and you can shoot it mechanically. So, of course, being that we want to build them as big as we can, we've got 10 paper airplanes that you can launch simultaneously. That's described in How to Build a Hovercraft. But right now, upstairs in the EP Bird Laboratory, we're working on launching 48 paper airplanes in about 4 seconds. It's a sort of a giant paper airplane Gatling gun.
Yeah, we turn a crank and they all fire off. It's kind of...
Well, I've done the single launcher, but I haven't tried the multi launcher yet. I've tried your sharpshooter launcher, but I haven't tried the 1 for 10 yet. And I'm on the way for that. For sure.
We try to again give you sort of different options in terms of depending on how much time and energy you have, you can build one, but then take it further, see if you can build 10. And as well, we really want to see what people do with these ideas, so that you come up with your own twists, your own spins on, and your own versions of these experiments.
Well, that single launcher was really fun for us when we first built it. We discovered, just to that plain, simple dart paper airplane we all learned to fold on the playground, with that launcher, it can be remarkably accurate. We've got a studio that's 50, 60 feet long, and we were able to shoot it pretty predictably through a window at the other end of the studio. Once we shoot it once, it's a little bit too far to the right, a little bit too far to the left, but after a couple, you can lock it down. And we were very accurate at that, so they can have a lot of fun with that accuracy, even with a simple single launcher.
I bet there's a lot of people who want to work at the EP Lab, eh?
It's a fun place to work.
We do have a lot of fun. I think the thing that I enjoy particularly, it's just we're constantly playing with new ideas, and there are a lot of days where we do something that we've never done before, or something that we never even dreamed was possible before. So whether it's floating on a hovercraft or launching 48 paper airplanes, there's a lot of things that I think have never been done before, or at least never been done by any sane humans before, that happen here at the lab.
That's Fritz Groba. The other voice you hear is Stephen Voltz. They're also known as the Coke and Mentos guys, but they're the authors of the new book, How to Build a Hovercraft, Air Cannons, Magnet Motors, and 25 Other Amazing Do-It-Yourself Science Projects. Available where books are sold. You can learn more at WVXU.org, and you can ask them a question by calling 513-419-7100. And there is, of course, a big section with the Coke and Mentos fueled experiments in here. I want to ask, just off the top of your head, how many Mentos and bottles of Coke do you think you've gone through in your career?
Fritz has been keeping a tally.
I think at this point we are well over 10,000 bottles of soda pop over the last 7 years, and that means that we're over 60,000 Mentos. But thankfully, the folks at Mentos are kind enough to send us Mentos by the crateful. So,
and actually, that number is that high in part because of what happened in Cincinnati, because the very first large scale thing we did after we did our video was in, I think, Fountain Square in Cincinnati. We set a world record of setting off some 500 with a bunch of people from the city coming to help us out.
Yes,
it was the first official Guinness World Record for Coke and Mentos with 502 bottles of Coke, and it was truly spectacular, particularly to do it there in Fountain Square. It was too much fun.
It was. I was there. It was a rather sticky mess afterwards. Soon I wanted to ask, when you're doing this, how do you keep those white lab coats so clean when you're dealing with all these Coke and Mentos fountains?
Well, the great thing about using Diet Coke and Coke Zero and other diet sodas is that there's no sugar. So it's not so sticky, and that means that it isn't too crazy to get completely soaked in it, and it washes right out.
And we have about 10 pairs of lab coats.
Just in case.
Quick change, artist. Well, Fritz, I understand you're a professional juggler. And Stephen, I know you're also a lawyer, and you mentioned earlier of performance theater. Is that what brought you together, that performance aspect of what you're doing?
Exactly, yeah. I actually, before I went to law school, I grew up in San Francisco, where there was a really cool street performing scene, and I got sucked into that a little bit. And I did juggling and fire eating and that kind of stuff when I was in high school and college. And then I went to law school, and I ended up practicing for 20 years. But towards the end of that, I discovered this really great place to study performing called the Celebration Barn Theater here in Maine, not far from Buckfield. And I went up there to study for a couple of weeks, and I met Fritz, and I kept coming back and met a whole bunch of really cool people, and that's where we met.
And we found that we had this common curiosity for how these everyday objects can do amazing things. So Stephen was playing Stars and Stripes Forever on Glasses of Water. I was doing a contortion act where I climbed through a coat hanger. Once we fell into dropping Mentos into Coke, it was but a short step from there into building hovercrafts and then finally getting this book out. So.
Well, it's fantastic when to talk about the hovercrafts for just a moment here, where you do start with just a small hovercraft made out of a CD and a balloon, but you do have a hovercraft made out of a leaf blower that you are riding on.
Very quick to make, surprisingly very quick to make. You need to be able to use a saw and maybe a drill and a few simple hand tools. But that hovercraft, just a piece of plywood and some plastic and a leaf blower and a very simple design, will lift someone as large as I, and I'm 6'2", well over 200 pounds, and I think you can make that in about an hour. I think our guys made it in almost half an hour because they were in a shop they knew, but it's very simple to make.
Wow.
And it's super fun to just be floating around the room
like
on this
human
cushion
hockey puck.
Of air. Yeah,
yeah,
like human hockey puck. It's too much fun.
Play human air and, hockey there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and we're a big part of the maker movement, encouraging people to get out there and make things. And we get so used to this notion that, oh, you're just going to buy the latest gadget. And if you want a hovercraft, well, gosh, can I afford it? But you can get your hands dirty. You can get those tools out. You can build this yourself. And there's a really profound satisfaction to saying an hour later, look, I made a hovercraft with nothing but this plywood, plastic, and a leaf blower, and now I'm floating around on air. It's an extraordinary feeling, and it's, I think, a great thing to see people out there making their own things.
Well, you've
we have a handful of, like, I guess they're 4 or 5 foot inflatable bowling pins we set up, and we do human bowling with those.
I'll have to try that out.
Knocking bowling pins over with the hovercraft is pretty awesome.
Well, thanks, guys. You've given me a lot to do with a new book, and appreciate your time this afternoon.
Well, it's been great to talk with you.
Do try this at home.
Yes, we will. Stephen Voltz and Fritz Grobe, also known as the Coke and Mentos guys, talking about their book, How to Build a Hovercraft. It's available now where books are sold. You visit WVXU.org. You'll also find a link to the book and more about E.B. Byrd. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.